Hi, welcome back to Computer Science E75. My name is Sid, and this is week four of sections. I first want to apologize for a slight confusion that I created over the email list. Sections are not from 7:30, as I mentioned. They are from 6:30. My apologies for the typo. I wanted to dive right into XML and XPath for project one, if you've started already, as we've talked last week. It requires you implementing a menu that we looked at from the end of project one specs. So the idea is to convert this entire menu to XML and create PizzaML, which will be a web-based application to access these items and add them to a cart. So the first part of today's section will be spent doing just XML stuff and XPath and trying to figure out how to use it. Let's first take a look at the XML file. I'm gonna shrink this. So the XML file today is about sushi, right? So there's gonna be a lot of sushi in the examples. The root element is sushi, followed by the fish and a bunch of attributes about the fish. So available or not, or origin, or where does it originate, etc. There are different variations of it. Also, something that I want you to take note of is that the second one here has an extra attribute that the other two don't. So it's not, XML is not restricting semantically in that you don't have to have the same attributes for every single child element. So let's take a look at the first example. This looks like our XML file, right? So it says fish, the different fish, and then it's the second, and then attributes, etc. So let's take a look at how this is printed out. So if we take a look at the source, all I'm doing is I'm saying just dump the variable as you see it. So construct the simple XML object and then just dump it, which is what you see when we say, when we look at this, this is exactly what it does. It just looks at it and just dumps whatever the variables are. The second example is prints out. So let me pull up the XML file so we can look at it. So let me remove these. So it basically prints out just the children's names. So it looks for each child, and then for each child, it just prints out the name of the child. Let's take a look at the source for this file. Fairly straightforward. Are you comfortable with this, or do you want me to go into it? It constructs a simple XML object, so element object, so it stores it in the $XML variable. And then it says, this is our object, so this is basically sushi followed by fish, fish, fish. And each of these have the name attributes, so when we say XML fish is fish, so it basically takes each child, stores it in the $fish variable, and lets us access the $fish of name. And this prints a break after that. So if you take a look at the actual source of it, it's not valid HTML. All it says is tuna, break, squid, break, salmon, break. Questions so far? Let me just make that bigger. Questions so far? All clear? Sweet. Let's go to the third one. So this is a lot prettier. This is a definite step up. It has it basically lists all the variations along with the names. So let me take a look at the source of this file. Let me pull it up separately. Sushi3.phps. So first constructs a simple XML object from the file, stores it under $XML. And then says, like we talked about, for each XML child fish as $fish. So it says echo fish name. So that's what we see here. So so we see tuna has these variations. So it says echo fish name has these variations, break line. And then echo is a select. So if you're familiar with HTML, of the top of your head, the select command works roughly. So this is the rough structure of the select command, which is basically just a drop-down menu. So it basically constructs these the same thing. So it says option value equals variation one of name, and then it just echoes variation one of name, and so on until it finally closes the select variable with a couple of break lines. Is this clear? Any questions about this? Make sense? Sweet. Four. So this appears to be doing something different. It's not really clear what it's doing, so let's just take a look at the source. First it constructs a simple XML element, right? So that's standard. It stores squid under fish name and with wasabi under variation name. And then it basically says XML expat sushi slash fish whose name is dollar fish name. What this does, let's take a look at the expat function because I want you guys to get used to sort of looking up the PHP documentation as we go. Here we go, simple XML expat. So the first thing to note about this function, The first thing to note about this function is that it takes a string and returns an array. So regardless of how many elements you expect to get back, you're going to get an array of elements. So even if you're selecting, let's say these children don't exist, and you query somehow with expat for this fish, you will still get an array whose zeroth element is this child. As with C, its indexing begins at zero, so this returns an array. Let's take a look at the actual query. So the query is slash sushi slash fish. So the XML file here is, let me close all of these. Actually, so just like with Unix file directories, slash sushi is basically the home root element. And slash fish, and here it says at name equals at fish name. So it's very clear what this does, because here we have this name attribute which says tuna. So we basically we're saying select all of those fish whose name equals fish name, which we've specified as squid. Does that make sense so far?
Is there a way to include more than one predicate at the end of the XPath?
Is there a way, could you give me an example?
Could you say that the name is equal to fish name and the ID is equal to two?
Could you say, I have to look this up once. Let's just look it up. XPath, but syntax, actually operators is what I want. Here we go, so computes two.
There's an OR down there.
There we go, there's an OR down there, so.
Okay.
So expat actually is really good. It's basically a query language for everything that you would need in any query language.
So do you need to use that simple element XML thing as opposed to just a simple load that we've been using?
A question is, do you need to use the simple XML element thing instead of this? So if you actually take a look at the documentation of load, where is it? Load PHP. Is it simple XML load? Is it the function that you use?
I think so. It's
Yeah, so simple XML load file, XML load file, here we go. So what it basically does is, instead of initializing it the way I've done it here, so new simple XML element, it basically loads the file. So here I'm doing get the contents, so file get contents first gets the contents of sushi.xml, and then loads that into an object. Simple XML load file basically does both of these operations in the same.
All right, so it's okay just to use, and then we can use XPath off of that.
Yes. So all that is required, so the question is whether you can use XPath off of that. All that you need in order to use XPath is for the object you call XPath on to be a simple XML element.
Okay.
So that's why if you look at the definition itself, it says simple XML element XPath, so it just belongs to that class. Questions? Okay, so that's that. So fish 2, so let's go back to the this cryptic file that it prints out. Sushi4.php is what I wanted. Okay, so it prints that. It's printing something there. And then it says fish2. So fish2 is what I've just gotten. So fish2 itself is a simple XML object. It says xpath variation slash variation name equals variation name. So the variation name we've specified here is with wasabi. So in the XML file, the first thing we specified was squid. So let's open this up. So keep in mind that what is stored in the array It's not just string names. It's not just the name of whatever element you're at. It in fact is another like simple XML object itself. So this contains a simple XML object that is this fish. So here we have squid and tuna and whatnot. So this when we queried for it with XPath, this entire object was stored under array of zero. Right? So we're treating that as the XML object now. So we're saying $fish2 XPath variation slash variation variation name. So we're querying for the variations in this file. So we're saying whatever this object, right? This object slash variations, right? So we're here at this point. And then variation name equals with velocity. Does that make sense? Once it does that, it says get that variation and then convert the price to a string and print it out. So I'm going to go over this from the beginning again, just so we can be clear, and then we'll take questions. Let me just go through once more. So first, this part is clear. So load some basically simple XML, load file into this object. First, just store these in a variable just so that it's easier for us to handle. Get XPath sushi fish name. So sushi is a root element. So get all the fish that have the attribute name equals squid. So that returns a simple XML object in the zeroth position of the array. So if there were three now, the first one would be the zeroth one, et cetera. So now store that object in fish two. So store that object in fish two. And once that's done, query that object for variations whose variation's name is variation name that we specified about. Once we get that, that's going to be, where is that? So that's going to give us this object. I'm not sure if highlighting works on that. It does not really. Yeah, it's better. So it basically gives us that object now. And that object has this child named price, which we're going to convert to a string and echo out. Questions?
Well, my question was with that in the bracket there, the at name.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of the at sign?
Oh, yeah. So question is, how does the at name thing work? So let's take some XML file. So let's call the root element XML, A something. And then we say B. Actually, let's say A name equals foo, close, and then slash A, right? So basically, we have two A's, right? One of which has a name specified equals foo, right? So let's say we want to query. So let's think of this. Think of like a collection of books, for instance, where you're specifying the genre of the book. So I've tagged each of the book with its genre. So I want to get all the books that are about cooking. So when I query for the actual, let's say I want all the A's, all I would say is XML slash A. This would be the XPath string that I use to get each of these things in an array, right? So if I want all the books that are tagged with foo, I would say XML. Let me erase this. So XML A at name equals foo. This basically gives me all the A's that have this attribute equals foo. Does that make sense? Cool. Questions? Okay, so let's go back here. Let's start with, let's take a look at this. Seems fairly straightforward. So it basically picks each of the children of the root node, and then picks each of its children, and then and prints out all its attributes, right? So let's take a look at the source. Here we go. So here at the, can you see that? I'm going to make that a little bigger. Okay, so the most exciting part of this file is this XPath query. So it's not going through each node in sort of a systematic, it's not saying first give me this child and then I'm going to look through all its children, etc. What it basically said is give me all the nodes in this XML file that have that are slash slash variation. Right? So slash slash variation basically means anywhere in this file, right? So let's say I have A is my root node, close A. I have B, I have C, close C, I'm closing B, and then I have C, another C, right? So when I look for slash slash C, it'll give me both this and this. So it basically gives you all the parts of the XML file that are of that object. So basically anything that has C in it will be returned. Does that make sense?
So variations is an array itself as well?
So variations itself is an array, that's right. And so let's take a look at the XML file. So if you look at this, so it's looking for all slash slash variation, right? So if you look at the actual file, there's a variation here, a variation here, variation here, variation here, and more variation here, et cetera. So it gives you all of these in an array. So it's like basically how many ever elements are in this array.
So XPath always returns an array even if there was just a single...
Exactly. So that's the key takeaway. XPath always returns an array even if there's only one object in it. And that object is obviously stored in the array of zero elements. There's another question back there.
Oh, I was going to ask in your example there. I'm sorry, I came in late. So that query would return an array with members that are the element C,
yep.
Or it would return B?
It would return C. So it would basically say anything, so any tag, so any children of this form, regardless of where they are on the file, will be returned. And maybe B is stored in here in this case or whatever it might be. So it'll return just
the intermediary.
It bypasses any possible intermediary. So it basically looks extensively throughout the tree. So once it does, let's go back to sushi of 5. Let me close these. Actually, let's keep that XPath operators page open. So this is actually terrible querying, but I just wanted to do this for so that you could sort of see what XPath is capable of. If you take a look at the XPath operators, I guess the XPath. Okay, here we go. So this is something I think we went through over a section where this is very similar to the Unix system, right? So Unix file system. This is the current node. This is from the root node. So if you have slash something, that has to be the root node. This basically talks about the previous parent, just like it would say cd dot dot. It basically is the same thing here. So here what I have is go back to two vari. So let's take a look at this. So let me close this up. Let's work with Salmon. So first it picks all the variations. So let's say it's at this node right here. So this is the current. So this is the current variation that is stored. So this returned an array. This line returned an array. So when it queried the XPath query, it returned an array. And for each of the elements in the array as dollar variation, it basically said variation of XPath dot dot slash dot dot. So where would that take us?
Up two,
exactly. So it's basically dot dot slash. So just go up two. So if you take a look at this, so variation. So the previous one is here. And the one above that is not any of these, but it's the fish itself. Make sense? So once you get that, print, and the fish is fish of zero because XPath again returns an array. So it's going to return stored in the zeroth variable, and then you're just going to say echo this. So this I don't think is something I talked about, and it's worthwhile doing. So if you're at this object right here, for instance, right? If you're at this A object with the name, the way you would get at it. So let's say you have, let me give you two distinct examples so that, so you have A is our root element, right? And B says CSE75, right? So if your XML variable, so your tree is stored, you're at A, how you would get it B is simply by saying $XML of B. Clear so far? So something to like, if you're actually, so like this, for instance, so you're basically just saying dollar variation of price, right? So if your XML root is stored in $XML, the way you would get at this is B. So let's say you have A, B, name, actually, let's do it with A itself so it's easier. A, and then you're saying name equals CS, right? And then your B has some data. Maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, doesn't matter. How you would get at this is basically $XML. Is this? So you would say $XML. Is that clear? So if you want to get at the attribute of an element, you would basically treat it like it's an associative array. So you would just say, give me name of that. But if you want to get at the child element, you would use the arrow to say B. Right? So this is something I missed talking about last time. So so here, what I'm saying is first the fish. So again, terrible naming syntax. Please don't follow it. But it says, first the variation is stored under a variation, and the fish is stored x by two elements above, which is what we did. And since it returns an array, we're going to get the first element of the array. Once we've gotten the first element of the array, we're going to say echo the fish of name, which is exactly what we're doing here. So we're just saying, so echo this name, colon variation of name. So the variation is still here, so with the last B or whatever the variation at that point is. And then the variation of price. And then that will just print out the price. Questions? Is it clear?
Before you cast the element to a string, do you not have to do that here because of the echo?
Do you not have to cast the element? Yes, you don't have to. And since here it's like, I'm actually not sure what happens if you cast like a giant, like an actual XML object as a string. But in this case, you don't have to because it's just the element itself. And I think echo will cast it naturally as a string.
So the leaves as PC data?
Yeah, so I'm not sure about the exact representation, but like when you echo it out, it casts it. And since it's just like a string anyway, it's fine. Questions? Okay. Why do I have curly braces here? This I believe is just for In PHP, let me confirm this as section public underscore HTML section. So I don't believe you actually need sushi5.php. So I don't think you actually need the curly braces. I believe when you're doing variables, we need the PHP file. Oh, weird. Oh, interesting. I did not know that. So I guess when you have, there's something I can look at. I'm not entirely sure why this.
You just have to concatenate. If you don't use that, you just.
Yeah, you can do that, yes, you can do that. But I was under the impression that you could also do. Okay, so because the last string does not do that, so I'm just a little surprised that it is. But I can look into this and send the class an email and confirm that. Is this something else now? Oh, well, I'll debug this later. But any other questions?
So wait, is that example now broken if we go look at
No, I will fix it immediately after section, so it'll work when you take a look at it. you should be all set. Cool. Let's go back. So I wanted to go over a couple of questions that the staff list has seen multiple times so that you can sort of take a look at it. The first question was, one of the specifications in the project PDF is that you cannot display all your menu categories on the same page, right? So there are a couple of different ways of doing this. One is to create, for each category, create something called pizza.php, or like for every basically category, but that does not work, because the moment you add another category in your XML file, that will break. Because you need a pizza. So if you have if you create yourself character, like sort of category specific pages, it's not really extensible, because they're probably going to add more categories or maybe delete a category, and you don't want your page to be category specific.
I did it exactly that way. You get in categories.
Yeah, right. You will. The question is, you will get it. You will definitely get it. But if I add another category, where would that be printed, though?
It would go in another PHP file.
Right, but you don't want them to. So you don't want them creating PHP files in order to display more categories. Right, because so the menu, the people who have access to the menu don't know PHP. Let's treat them that way. All they're going to be able to do is change stuff in the XML file.
Exactly.
So without an actual, let's say you add a category for appetizers, right? When you add that category, you need a corresponding appetizers.php page, right?
Right,
which does not work because unless you create, so the idea is to remove that part of it and sort of make it dynamic to fully extensible. Well, you can create the page on the fly.
Yeah.
How would you create the page on the fly?
I sent you my code.
We can talk about this later, but you can't create an entire new page. So what the way to solve this problem is to treat it like this. So so all you need is an actual category.php page. So once you have this page, you can pass it the name of a category.
Okay.
And that will basically look at grab the variable from $_get and basically query your XML file, et cetera, et cetera. And when you're in your actual home page or whatever, however you choose to design it, these links will basically point to pizza.category. And these can also be dynamically generated because you can take a look at your XML file. For each category, all you have to do is say print category.php. So you'll have like an ahref around each text for printing it out. But you'll say php name equals whatever variable you're using of category. Does that make sense?
Now, in your XML file, you could have included something at the very, like when somebody adds a new category, the first thing they can have in the XML is the name of the PHP file that's going to be automatically created.
Sure. So, right. So I think I'm not entirely sure how this would work, but we can talk about that after
it's the same principle as this. It's just
okay. Well, we can figure this out right after. Any other? So do you guys see how this works? So the basic idea is to say, I'm going to have one single page. So for this, we need to like set up a few things. So this is your home page. I'm going to move this side. So you have different categories linked here, right? So the first thing you need for people to be able to do is to get to these links. Here in your XML file, you have all these categories here, right? So you have all of them here. Basically, you look through them. For each of the names, you basically print out category.php ? Name equals whatever the name of that thing you saw there. And in your category.php page, which we will sort of link to this way, the moment you see a get variable, you will have to just print out the elements in that menu. That makes sense? I see a little confused faces here.
The only thing I'm confused about is why, whether that's a part of the specification of the project for pedagogical reasons to make us do this, or whether it's
why exactly would you want to do it this way? Exactly for the reason I gave you. Like, if I add a new category, maybe there's another way. I'm not entirely sure how that would go about. But the moment I add another category, you should not have to add another page that prints the menus of that category.
I guess what I mean is, why would you ever want a menu that is on multiple pages?
Oh, so one of the specifications on the project is to have, let's see, so. So here we go. So you must not display three aces in menu on one huge page. Can you read that? Okay. But rather allow customers to browse the menu by category. I guess just for ease of like browsing. And that I think doesn't make sense especially because the menu is so large. Where is the menu? Especially since the menu is so large, having a giant giant page I think is not.
If you implemented that way of displaying categories, how would you put multiple categories on one page?
If you implemented this, how would you put multiple categories? That's a little tricky. So you'd have to be smart about like looking at your get variables and figuring out how to print them. Right? But not necessary because you can just do one category per page. And since there are sufficient elements, it won't look bad either. Any questions here? I'm going to do a few examples around this, and maybe that'll become clearer. So, under online, basically we have a mini version of the project. So main, so view cart, your cart is empty, go back to main. Pizzas, select something, it says something, so I'm going to view cart again, this is my cart. I'm going to clear my cart, and I'm going to view cart again. So a lot of like the infrastructure, like sort of logistics around the project is available here. So let's take a look at the source. Let's come back to that actually. Let's go here. Okay, I just have to. Okay, so I guess we're just gonna have to look through each page's source by itself. So let's start with main, index.phps. So this is exactly what I was talking about. So first you get the contents of the store.xml file, and then query XPath for all the categories, right? So you're gonna say, give me all the categories. Let's take a look at the XML file so that you have an idea of how this looks. So it's store.xml. So this is how the XML file looks, right? So we have the category name. This is a poor schema. Like it's poor by choice because we want you to like figure out what works and what does not. Price size equals small, large, etc. All of them have small and large. There's a description about some of the items, and then more stuff, and each category is sort of in its own. So let's actually shrink this so that you will see. We don't care about the address, we do care about the menu, so let's shrink the items here. So we're querying for XPath, which will give us all the categories. So it'll just give us each of these elements in an array. So once that is done, it says, so require runs begin.php, end.php. These are basically another very good way to like prevent code duplication. So now that you know PHP, instead of having to write this sort of HTML head, et cetera, on every one of your pages, what you can do is basically store that in a file and just require it. So once you require it, it basically will just print that out, which means you will be you don't have to like write that. So that removes a lot of code out of your page.
So by itself, it's not a conforming HTML document, but when you put it all
together, exactly by itself, right? By itself, it's not. But when you say, because none of these PHP files will actually be seen. So when you look at the actual index.php, right, when you take a look at the actual file, you see like an HTML document that's complete, has the header, has the etc. So the part that we're filling in is, if you take a look, is after this. So it's about here, right? So here first we're saying for each of these categories as category, right? This is exactly what I talked about here. So category.php get category equals print category of name. Does it make sense? Makes sense? So for each of the categories, I'm just going to look through it and sort of link to it. So when you take a look at where it's embedded, it's in an ahref. Once I do this, I'm going to print the actual category name itself because I want to take a look at it and be like, oh, so pizzas, right? So if you take a look at the source, it's basically saying ahref category.php category equals pizzas. And then the next one is specialty pizzas, etc. So and the actual text that is printed out is also the same name. So it links to it and prints it out. And once that is done, it just ends, so it closes the table, finishes like all the formatting that it was doing, and requires end, which will just finish like close your HTML body tag, etc. So far so clear? So let's take a look at pizzas. First thing to note, the URL is category.php, like we just said. We did when we click on it. So let's go back to category.phps. First thing it does, it creates the XML variable and gets the category from the URL, right? So as we've seen multiple times now, get will basically store the variables that you pass to it in the URL. It'll get that, and then it queries the XML file. So let me close this. It queries the XML file for, let's do pizzas, for instance. So let's open up this items thing. It basically queries the pizzas for, queries the menu for category slash name equals pizza. So it basically queries for this element straight up, right? So it says, give me the category whose name is the name that I just stored, which is pizza. And give me all the items slash items. So one other cool thing about XPath is that you don't have to end your query anywhere. So you can say, here, where, for instance, we're querying for the name of the category, but we're also just extensively saying, give me all the items of item of that element. So that basically gives us all of the, gives us all of these items. Right? Clear? So once we get all these items, all we have to do is print the item name. So the item name is a is an attribute. So you would say item, open square bracket, name, and then print the price, which is so, and then for each of these prices. So first we're printing the item name, and then for each of this item of price as price, basically you're linking to this another file called addtocart.php. Sanitizing this, so well, we can come back to this, but so far, do you have any questions until this point? Clear? Okay, cool. So and then you're using those valuables, so let's actually look at this in real time. So there's a post, I'm guessing. Oh, so, okay, so let's take a look at temper. Sorry. Can't find tamper data. Okay, but if you look at the actual request it's making, so even though you click here, it's redirecting you to cart.php. But the actual link that you're linking it to is this file name addtocart.php. Right? So it first links you to this addtocart.php and gives it the name, the size, and the price of this item in the cart. So once that is done, addtocart.phps, right. So first, we're going to check. So was that linking clear? Again, it's the same model. So we're going to grab the stuff. We're going to put it in the URL as a get parameter and then pass it on to our addtocart.php. Addtocart.php first checks to make sure there's a name for the object you're trying to add, right? So if that does not exist, it redirects to index.php. If the name exists, it just grabs it in the dollar name variable. Now you have to actually check to see if this is valid. This part, again, is left alone so that you can implement this part. Because I can give you, so now if you look at this, so I can say something like, let's actually show you what I mean. So I'm going to say add to cart.php. Okay, so when I do that, it just added three onions or whatever I just added. So now I'm going to say, add, ooh, that's not good. So when I passed it to it, what it said was just, it just grabbed the name and then just added it to the cart. And since it didn't find a price that I didn't give it, it didn't work. It didn't actually input a price, but this is something you want to look out for. When you get a name of the object from one page to another, you want to make sure that thing exists in your XML page. Right?
You want to make sure nobody tampers with it.
There's no way you can prevent that though. People can change the parameters that they give your page. What you have to do is be defensive about what they give you and not make sure everything that they give you is valid input. So you don't want people adding one quantity of small foobar to their menus. So you just have to check to make sure whatever they give you exists. And then once that is done, it says get the name, get the size, actually starts the session. Stores the key as so this is the part. We've talked a lot about using session as the cart, but we've not been specific about it. So basically, you're going to have to somehow store in your session variable so that when you go from page to page to page, that the cart is sort of persistent. So unless you clear your cart, you want the elements to stay there. So what we're going to do, this is a very simplistic form, and there are different ways you can do this, is to just store store this. So first you're going to say you're going to store this key And you're going to say session of cart is equal to key of 1. So let's go into this in detail. So you have your session variable, and you want to store every time somebody adds an element to their cart, you want to store it in the session variable, right? So that's the overall like sense, so that it stays persistent. So when you go to the next page, you can still grab it from the session variable and print it out. Finally, when they clear their cart, you can just session destroy, and everything will be gone, right? So that's the overall idea. Now, when you say, let's say I want to add a pizza small, right? So that's what I want to add. When I want to add this, you have to figure out some way to store it in a session variable that makes sense and is sort of easy to access. The first thing to do is to sort of create a cart, right? So call this variable cart, so you can say session. That's an underscore in there, but the first thing you could, and these are all, like I said, extremely like malleable to how you want to design it. So this is just one approach that you can take. So you can say that all your stuff is going to be stored under session session of cart, right? So you can say here what we've chosen to do is basically just concatenate the pizza, concatenate the name of the pizza, so onions, right? Add a period, and then add a size. Would that work if your pizza name had an embedded space in it? It would. It would. It would still work. Again, ways to make, you can choose to like remove spaces by, I don't know, like maybe replacing all spaces with like underscores, and then concatenating your size with it. So basically what it says is, so let's just call this string str. So whatever this string works out to be, right? And you're gonna store the quantity itself. Right? So not the price, that's a poor choice. Let's say Q. So this is the format that we've chosen to represent it in. So we're going to say cart, and then whatever this item, which in the sort of key that we've defined, which is the name of the item and followed by the size of the item, is equal to how many ever quantity you have of that in your cart. Does that make sense?
Couldn't you just push the get array that comes along into the cart and have all that information already?
So yes, you can push it. You can just push it into the session variable. The question is like, first of all, you don't know the items that in your get are like sort of sanitized and things that you want.
You can pre-sanitize it.
Yeah. That's right. But the problem now is how would you access this in an efficient and easy manner? Here, like it's very elegant because now all you have to do is say for each session of cart as item as dollar item, right? For each of these items, just do it. The other problem with that is if you have other stuff stored in your session in your like session variable, when you do this, that will also come up when you do a for each without sort of storing it in a separate section of it.
Yeah, it seems like you just do a nested for each, and then
you can do a nest for each, and that's what I'm saying. This is completely up to like how you want to implement it.
Okay.
I personally think this is the most elegant way to do it because A, it gives you some sort of clarity with like how the session variable is stored. And it sort of clearly demarcates what is in your cart. And let's say you have an authentication here, right? You have an authentication bit that you set to 1 if the person's logged in. This is obviously not something you want to do in this project. But storing it sort of separately as a cart and for each element serializing it in some form to store it as some string, in this case choosing to say name of item, period, size, when you look at it on the other side of it, so when you have to display the cart, which we'll do very quickly, you can just say, I have this string. I know that this is how I've serialized it. So how I'm going to deserialize it is just say, split it, and go ahead, find the price, etc. Make sense? Questions? Cool. So subtle things here. Notice that we're not accepting the price from the user, right? So in this case, so when we said main. Even though here the price was displayed, right? We did not accept the price, so we printed the price, but on the other side, we just took the name and the item, name and the size, which is what we wanted. So once we have the name and the size, what we need to do on the other side at the cart is to look up the prices of these objects ourselves. Right? So just a subtle gotcha, because if you're going to have passing around, if you're going to be passing around the price in the URL, it's not hard to change it. Like I said, get sanitized. So other questions?
Are you saying we're going to have a separate XML file, or we should have a separate XML file for pizzas and subs?
So the question is, do you need separate XML file for pizzas and subs? No, you should have only one XML file. Why would you need to?
I thought that's what you meant earlier, but I guess.
Oh no! So I just meant the PHP page that handles it. So what I was saying, and I should have been a little more clear. My apologies. Is just not create these pages called pizzas.php, but sort of have it hard coded in it. That's all I meant. What I meant to say was like, don't create separate pages, but instead just include this category.php that can take any category and print out the elements in that category. Other questions? The design is completely up to you. This is something I cannot stress enough. Like, feel free to sort of serialize differently or do anything differently that you want. The basic idea is you want to store it in session because you just.
Can you talk about the form itself and when the get gets issued? I mean, I did a lot of looking on the web, and some places you read the get is actually handled on the same page as where it's generated.
Right.
And this seems, I played around with that, and there seems to be a lot of drawbacks. Like when you refresh a page, your order gets entered again.
Right.
So apparently there's ways to clear out, like using unset.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to work.
Sure. The question is like when you sort of have when you have a page that sort of submits to itself, there seem to be drawbacks, and there are, right? So there are advantages and disadvantages to both sides. Submitting to a separate form, for instance, makes your code very modular, so you know that here you're just going to submit, and here you're just going to accept. On the other hand, working on the same page is sort of very seamless flow for the user itself. Another option is to say, have it submit, but redirect it like we do it here. So even though we added something to the cart, it was entirely like I didn't even know that add to cart was being called. When I hit that, it does add to cart and then redirects me to cart.php. So that's another option that you can use is to just redirect and to sort of process and redirect in a different page. There are advantages and disadvantages, and again, up to you to decide how. And this is the part where we look at the design part of your score. This is what we will look at. Just like figure out how you decide to handle it and what sort of structure and code flow you had. It looks like there are still a couple of questions, but I'm just going to go on, and then at the end, if you have more, we can go over them as well. So the next part is the view cart. So the view cart, conceptually, what do we want it to do? Somebody. Yeah. So what does cart want? Like in terms of like variables, etc. What do we want it to do? Yep, basically just display what is in this section of your session, and then for each of the items that you display, look up the price, right? Yeah, exactly. Look up the price, do some basic arithmetic, and then print it out. So that's the advantage of storing it in this form. So another option you can serialize it is when people submit it. So when people add to their cart, you can serialize it in the form of name, size, quantity. Right. This is another perfectly valid sort of way to do it. So if I add 3 onion pizzas, you can say onions small 3. Right. But the problem with this is now if I add more pizzas, you have to read the string, find out how many you originally had, add more to it, and then remove this and add that. Right? So in this manner, if you just say, just keep adding to whatever is here. So if I add 5 more, and there were 3 originally, it'll just add, it'll make it 8. Does it make sense? So there are other ways to serialize it, but some of them do have advantages over.
There's a drawback to that, too. I mean, if somebody played around with it and, you know, changed it to a quantity equals 1,000,
mm-hmm.
So consider that kind of a security issue?
I mean, sure. So the question is like, what if somebody just adds 1,000 quantity? I mean, there's not you could be really, really defensive and say, nobody's ever gonna order more than 100 pizzas, and then I'm gonna restrict that to them, right? But this just involves more computation of you having to like look this code, look this up, and to look that up, you are first going to have to like look through each element in your session variable, and then like compare strings, pull it out, find your current quantity, then add the new one, and then remove this, and then add that. So instead of all that, this is like an elegant, simple way to do it. Let's take a look at the CARTS code. So this part we've seen a lot. Create simple element XML, start the session. So here we're saying cart equals session of cart. So we're straying straight up. So this is the part that I care about. So we're just going to store it in this variable. Begin again, printhead the HTML header. So here it says, first the question is, are there any elements in this cart at all? Right? So if cart do all of this, we'll come back to what all of it is. Else just print your cart is empty. Right? Yep. So once you do that, what if there are items in your cart? So first, this is basically just your cable sort of headers. If you're setting up item size, quantity, unit price, etc. So once you set that up, keys equals array keys of cart. What does array keys return? Into purely. Yep. Basically returns all of these. So you have your cart and then a bunch of like variables, and it basically returns all of these keys. For each of these keys, I'm going to explode. Explode is a great function PHP that you will probably use at some point. Basically says, given a string and a delimiter, just explode it. So just split it at that part. So if I have an int period small, and you explode it with period, your first it'll return an array with 0 and 1. So onions in the first 0 part and 1. So the name is array of 0, size is array of 1. Quantity is cart of key. So the quantity itself is like here. So I have the string. The quantity is stored as the value of that key. So I'm just going to grab that value. And then here I'm constructing this sort of what I think is a very beautiful XPath query, which basically says, give me all the names. This is what somebody was asking about earlier about ORs. So it basically says, give me all the names that have all the items that have this name and all the prices of this size. So it basically just returns what you would expect it would, like the price of the item of that size. Once it does that, you're casting it as a float because it is a float and you don't want to lose your whatever you have stored. Calculate the item subtotal, basic arithmetic, and then print all of these out. Use printf to like signify how many like sort of points you want. Close it and then print the total amount. There's a lot going on here, so which part do you want me to go over?
Well, is there anywhere in that for each where you actually look to see if they were the same items ordered twice?
So do you ever see that they were the same item to order twice? We will never run into that problem in this schema. Because like if they were the same item ordered twice, they would be the same string. Right? So if I ordered like onions small twice, they would be the same string twice. And when I added it, it will just append it to the quantity.
Got it. Okay.
So you will never run into an issue of having multiple.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's one of the advantages of following something like this. Mm-hmm.
You're saying that it will somehow, I'm not understanding how in session 2 plus 1 becomes 3. Why doesn't the 1 just overwrite?
So that is in the add to cart PHPS. So here, so notice that we're saying cart, so this part is fine, right? So the session of cart, this very last line right here. So this part is, the session of cart is where we're storing all of this, and the key we've constructed, we're saying is the existing value plus 1. And if it does not exist, it sets it to 1. That's what PHP does. And since it's arithmetic, it just takes empty as 0 and then adds it to 1. So here it's going to say, and here keep in mind that we've not allowed people to add in quantity. So we're not saying like we're not going to let them like enter a number because right now we're not. But in years you will probably. So there you want to just say cart session plus equals like whatever quantity you just got from the user. And possibly be defensive about it in terms of how many pizzas you can order. But does that make sense?
So we're not letting them do 3 pizzas, they have to do 1 pizza.
Right, and this just so that this is just like a basic, very basic sort of bare bones that like build off this. And we don't want to give the answers to you, obviously. So so you just have to figure out how to implement that. That's not hard. Questions? Cool. So let's go over one last thing. Let's go over the cart file again, because I feel like going over it once more will help. General idea again is to just look through, I erased it, but look through the cart part of the session variable. So first get the cart. So first get the cart. From the cart, we know the string of the keys, so we get all the keys stored in the cart variable. For each of those keys, sort of split them and get back the name and the size. Once we get back the name and the size, basically query our XML file for the price of that name and that size. When once we get back that price, we just have to print it out in a pretty sort of table manner. And in the process, we are keeping track of like total, for instance, which is just item subtotal, and then we just keep appending to it, keep adding to it. At the very end, we print this total. So when you take a look at cart.php right now, is that. So the last part of this is clear cart. So I'm going to hit clear cart, and I'm going to go back to view cart. It says your cart is empty. So how did this work? Yep, did you somehow clear out the session variable? That is exactly what I did. Clear.phps. So I start a session. So this is a gotcha that I've run into many times that a lot of people do run into. So keep in mind, even if you're going to destroy the session, you have to start it in the first place. So you basically start the session, unset everything that is under session cart, so remove all of those things, and then just destroy the session and redirect it back to index.php.
So do you need to unset it before you destroy it?
That is a good... I'm not sure. I don't think you do, but I let me just look up what session destroy does. Destroys all data, so you actually don't need to unset. But unsetting is another way to do it. Because in case you have like authentication, for instance, stored in the session variable, you don't want to remove that along with removing the cart. So
it seems like you might want to use unset instead of session destroy.
Yeah.
If the user was already logged in and you
want
to keep
exactly. You want to, if you have any other potentially persistent information in the session variable, you want to unset it. So
yep. I'm a little confused about the session starting. I mean, at this point, doesn't your session already, maybe I don't understand how the session works. Hasn't the session already been started when you first went into the pizza menu? Why do you need to restart it?
Right. So session start, like once again, the documentation is great. So there's a great place to turn for any questions. Even if you don't have...
Or resumes a current one.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have a session already, you have to do so to take a look at it. Any other questions? So hopefully this is a good place for you guys to like sort of build on project 2. Again, let us know if you have any questions, help@cs75.net. And my email is also on the website if you want to email me directly. But definitely let us know if you have any questions. And this is, again, something that came up on the list that I thought I'd make clear. Like, if any of you want to meet, I can schedule office hours on a weekend, and it would be open for whoever to come in, and I can sort of walk you through some individual problems. So if you need it, if you email me tonight, I can look, I guess, whenever by the weekend. I can do it even on Monday, since Monday is a holiday. I'm happy to sit down for 3 hours, and people can walk in with questions. So definitely let us know if you have any questions, and good luck with Project 1. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.